I want to teach today and preach and encouraging you about our celebration coming up. You know, we don't believe in doing things just for religious reason. We don't have anniversaries and services just to be religious. We do things because we sense the purpose of God in it. And celebrating God's work in our ministry for these 30 years and all he's done through us, I tell you what, that's worthy of praise. Amen. Praising God. But I'm not going to preach about the anniversary. I'm preaching about the foundation. And the flyer you're receiving is the flyer that you can pass out. There's more of these available. But what I want to do today is take the text that's below the heading that says moving forward on the firm foundation of faith. And every year we have events, whether it's Weekend for Winners, whether it's special services. We want to try to give you the sense of what God is saying about that occasion. Because even though there's a lot of work that goes into events and such, but the real purpose of God and the investment we make is for God to do something in us.
Right.
Amen, church?
Amen.
So that, as Joyce Sell was saying there, you know, they go to the juvenile center once, twice a month, and that's a lot to do on top of a work day and a busy work day. But we don't do things, you know, the first time you do a thing, it's fun, it's exciting, you get an adrenaline rush. But after 15 years of doing stuff, you better have a real good reason for going back up in there. You better know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Amen? And so that we know what we're doing here at New Covenant Church. We know what we're about. I know what God has spoken to my heart. And even though we don't always see the benefit of everything we want to see, we know God is faithful. Amen? Now, let's take our text today. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5. And also we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And the text that we chose to celebrate the anniversary is this text from Romans chapter 5. New Living Translation reads as follows. It says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. Amen. The other scripture we had, we did not put on the flyer. Here's a second scripture. Theme scripture, not been published, but here it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, Amplified Bible says, yet the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation. Say, Lord, thank you,
Lord, thank
for setting me
on
a firm foundation.
On a firm foundation.
You know, nothing else explains how we can continue to serve God and be faithful and effective, how we can continue to find strength and energy and insight to bless and serve people, except there's something beneath us that's stronger than us. Amen? And that's what's called a foundation. And we like to use the phrase firm foundation. And the Bible says here, going back to Romans, that God has brought us into this place. So the place we're in, the place that he's helping us, the place where he's blessing us, the place where he has allowed us to flourish and develop and receive from him, is the place of that firm foundation. And he says there that we have this place of it's undeserved. I mean, God just blessed us, not because of us, often in spite of us. Amen.
Amen.
But he says there that now we stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. One thing I love about thinking about God and the purposes of God is no matter where you are today, there's always a brighter future. Amen?
Amen.
That the days you're going through may be difficult. They can be difficult and dark sometimes. But because we serve a God, we can always move forward on the firm foundation of faith. That's the thing. Say, moving forward.
On the firm foundation of faith.
I got to tell you something. It's the only way to move. Amen. To move forward. Now, here's a quote I want to share with you. John Maxwell said, when there is no hope in the future, there is no power in the present. John Maxwell, a man of God, said that. And I believe the text backs it up. Because, see, what gives us power in the present is the faith we have in God for what he wants to do. So you heard a testimony that in the lobby, feeling weak at the lobby of the juvenile center, and there's kids in there waiting, team to go in and minister, And you'll call upon the minister at a time when you don't feel too good, you see. But the future of changed lives awaits beyond the doors, you know, of the lobby. And so into the space where the young people are, that there's an opportunity to lay a foundation and to sow a seed that the Bible says will not return to him void. See, we understand the power of faith in God and what God has planned for the future. You can get your mind off the present. You can gain power for the present. Come on, somebody. You find yourself having unusual supernatural power to do unusual and supernatural things when you have a firm foundation of faith. Say foundation.
Foundation.
Come on, shout foundation.
Foundation.
Another quote says, this is not from a man of God, but a secular quote, but it says, your future depends on many things, but mostly on you. Now, of course, it depends on God. But we know that if we don't make a decision to trust him, even God can't drag us across the street to serve him. Come on, somebody. I learned that a long time ago. Some things God won't do. He won't balance my checkbook. He won't make me pray. He won't make me serve him. But he gives me the power to make a decision. He gives me grace to say, Lord, okay, I say yes to you. And sometimes all God needs is a yes. He knows what he has in store. He knows the power he has. He knows what he can do for those who will say yes to him.
Hallelujah.
So every good thing God does in us and through us, watch this, is in connection with a foundation. Everything God does in us and through us is, I'll say, through a connection with and upon a foundation. Now, why is this? Well, you know, our Father God is a father. We call him Father for a reason. And I'm a father of four children. My dad fathered me. And one thing fathers are supposed to do is to raise children, to teach and instruct and train. Of course, the mom is there as well. But dad's supposed to model before their children a picture of strength and of progress and of moving forward on the right foundation, no matter what. No matter what. You know, one thing that we have to recognize raising children, you know, things happen in the home, difficulties come. But you know what? Somebody got to say, hey, we're going to go forward in faith in Jesus' name. And the dad needs to say that. So Father God provides for us the ultimate example of one who always has this firm foundation, of God who has the power and faith in himself to take his purposes forward. And so that understand that everything God does, every good thing he does, I believe is in connection to the foundation upon which we stand. And that God is also a builder. You know, God has created the universe. He created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that, you know, God has caused forth humanity to come forth. Adam and Eve came forth. He created all the earth, all the things in the earth. And God gave Adam and Eve a specific decree. He gave them a foundation called the Garden of Eden, a place where they could grow and dwell. And he gave them some guidelines. Very simple guideline was this. Everything in here you can have, except this one thing. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat of it. You don't even touch it. But I'm giving you 10,000 things. One thing I want you to leave alone. Now, wasn't that God was just so concerned about them being, they couldn't ruin what God had put over there, the one thing. God was concerned that not about that they would go over there, but that they would break covenant with him. They would lose their foundation, lose their basis of blessing. Now, we know what happened. Satan came in, deceived Adam and Eve, and so the one thing God said became the only object they became interested in. And infatuation came in, they sinned. And when they made the mistake of partaking of that which God said, do not partake of, then they lost their connection to a firm foundation. See, a firm foundation is not something mystical, magical, it's not even deep. It's just that whatever God says, whatever the word says, we should be doers of the word. Amen? He said in James that if you look into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continue in it, you will be blessed in what you do. So it's no deep thing. The firm foundation we stand on is God's word. Amen. Not just the parts we like. Not our favorite scripture. Not the one underlined. Come on, somebody. Don't get proud about you found a scripture. You like a scripture. It spoke to you. Thank God it does. But there's some scripture going to speak to you that you might not like as much. Like when it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he will exalt you in due time. That's a firm foundation. A bad foundation is, well, I think I'm ready. I think it's time for me to do this, do that. Well, not unless it's a firm foundation and God confirms that. And people of God confirm it in your life. Amen? Now watch this. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, Paul said this and reflects on this principle that God works in and through his connection, our connection with foundation. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar or the ground, we could say foundation of truth. So Apostle Paul, who wrote scripture, what became scripture, is giving Paul and Timothy and all of us an instruction. And he says here that the things that are written, not the things you think, not what you feel, not what you've heard, but what's actually written. He says that these things were written to help us know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. The house of God isn't only the four walls of the church building. The house of God is the church with which we're connected. You know, the larger body of Christ, the whole kingdom of God, everything that is concerning how we relate to each other as the body of Christ, that's the whole house of God. And there's a way to conduct ourselves in the house of God. There's a way to handle things, a way to go about resolving issues and getting help for different things. And so it says here that the church, here's the point, the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. The church, that is the body of Christ with Jesus in the earth, are the pillars and the foundation of truth. We see it today that we've often talked to you about in our society today. I mean, we're going sideways in relation to family and marriage. Yes, yes. Now they're saying, becoming a consensus now, marriage is whatever you want, whoever you want to love, you know, whoever you love. Somebody got to say, marriage is going to always and forever be a man and a woman. All right. That's a weak amen. I mean, I'm going to back that up. I ain't by myself here, man. They're going to come get me, and they ain't getting you too. Okay, listen. Marriage is and forever be between a man and a woman.
Amen.
We believe that. Amen. Now, folks disagree with that. They're going to do what they want to do. But I'm telling you something. See, we're already at a time when God is giving us the responsibility to be that foundation and that pillar of support to hold up that which the world has no clue on what needs to be held up. Amen? Now, I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but this I know. We have to walk in love, being confrontational, won't help anything. Bible says, speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Listen, y'all, there are benefits of a firm foundation. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad I married a woman. Amen.
Amen.
And a beautiful woman at that. And we had children together. You can't get that no other way. Come on, you can't have no children. We need to have a firm foundation. And so that you have to realize that you who are hearing my voice, who say you love Jesus, you are a part of that foundation. So I'm a part of that firm foundation. We have to conduct ourselves properly in the house of God. Jesus gave a foundational teaching. Go to Luke chapter 6. Jesus spoke to this very important point. And he gave us a big time benefit of having a foundation. Huge benefit. You'll see here in the text. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. He says there, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me, hears my sayings, and does them, I will show you whom he is like. What's he like, Lord? He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when, not if, when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently, which means violently, against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on what? A rock. Verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth, on the ground, without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Wow, this is a big time lesson from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that there's two conditions here, two people. And these two people did one thing exactly the same. First, they came to Jesus. Second, they both heard what he said. They were two-thirds on the way. But the last step made all the difference. The Bible says that one person did what he said. The other person did nothing. And listen, and when the construction was finished and the houses were built, they looked exactly the same. Say, wow, you both built great houses, and a person actually got away without listening to Jesus and still got a nice house after all. Oh, don't go by what you see. That thing may look beautiful. But whenever the foundation's lacking, the storm is going to prove the substance of that house, of that person. And the Bible says the stream came against the house built in a rock. And the Bible says it could not shake it. Amen. Didn't shake it. So this is what we have to understand. That see, when we are connected to Jesus through his word, when we're operating properly in the house of God, laid it properly, the spiritual authority, all those things that God said, we have those things in place. The Bible says that we can be like the house that stands the test. Amen, church? Anybody stood a test up in here? I've been through a couple. Amen. And still here. Still married. Still love Jesus. All my kids are saved. Got a little money. A little too much weight. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. And I work on that too. I mean, point is, we have actually stood the test. Amen. Well, I say we. Collectively, have stood the test. Now, we haven't had all the success we want to have in the outward realm. Other things affect those factors. Here's the point, though. You don't stand before God talking about how big your church was. You stand before God saying, were you faithful? Yeah. Did you do my will? Did you serve me? Did you go out and preach to those young people even when you were in the lobby? I got to go back home. I can't go through with this tonight. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Ministry ain't about preaching. Ministry is not about preaching. It's about ministering. It's about going to where the people are. Amen. We preach where we go, but we don't just stand here. We go everywhere. Amen. And in your personal life, ministry is about how you handle your family, whether you're single, have a spouse. I mean, listen, God, y'all, God is looking at everything. And the house is not one thing. It's many things. Doesn't matter what you're building, what it is. Go to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Get the scriptures. The Spirit and the Word always agree.
Hallelujah.
And then do what he says. Yes. And just trust him that when the storm comes, you say, I'm ready. I'm not saying bringing it now. I'm just saying, I think I'm ready. And the storm comes, you find that, Lord, thank you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In fact, you probably will say, Lord, thank you once again.
Yes.
Another storm, another survival, another opportunity to thrive in the midst of that storm. Amen, church? You know, we don't live in a region like down south on the Gulf Coast. We haven't experienced hurricanes up here. We have our own type of storms. We have tornadoes up here. But I couldn't imagine living in a region and being victim of a hurricane and seeing everything just overrun with water and swept away. But one thing, if you look at those houses, in the pre-Katrina era and post-Katrina era, houses are built differently now. Huh? That the houses that were swept away in Katrina were not swept away in Isaac. Because folks say, you know what? This is a real situation down here. We got to build this thing differently. Not just lay a foundation, which all houses have. We got to connect to the foundation better. Hear that? See, the foundations weren't swept away in Katrina. It's all the stuff on top of the foundation. So part of the clue, or part of the plan that got a clue was, oh, we got to connect to the foundation more substantially. Same is true in Florida, California. We have earthquakes that they have attached themselves. First, they build a deep foundation. And when the Bible says they put a foundation on a rock, that is an architectural term, because if you noticed, before a big building goes up, there's a loud noise. Clank, clank, clank. I mean, like all day, day after day, clank, clank. If you're close to it, the ground shakes. What's going on over there? They are driving pile drivers. They're driving metal into the earth below the soil all the way into bedrock. And they're driving it into the bedrock. And so that takes like weeks and weeks before anything gets built on top. That's part of the foundation. They dug deep, laid a foundation. Well, a deep foundation is great. And, but Paul says, a wise master builder is impossible. I have laid a foundation. Now God helped me to present to you God's church. I have laid a foundation. Take heed how you build on it. So you may have a good foundation, but let's be connected to it strongly and properly. Amen, church?
Amen.
Be sure you're connected firmly. My wife and I, we love you. We're married. Been married a long time. And we love each other. We say all the right things. But you know what? That's a good foundation. But we got to stay connected to that foundation. We got to spend time together. We got to pray together. Amen. We got to do things for each other that deepen our relationship and our appreciation for one another. We're just going to say we got a marriage license over here and we married. Yeah, that's a foundation. But yet, are we connected to it? You got that?
Amen.
Now, Jesus said this is foundational teaching. And we want to be in that number of people who do three things. Say, Lord, I'm doing three things. Say, Father, I'm coming. I'm hearing, and I'm doing what you said. Amen. Psalm 11, I'll read it to you. Verse 3 just says this. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now notice today, I got my iPad up here, and the screen is dark, because I couldn't get my notes to come up on it. So I did something very foundational. I got some printouts. I had something called paper. Thank God for paper. Amen. That sometimes the high tech stuff, the fancy stuff don't work, but the old stuff is always there. Amen.
Right.
And the push comes. I mean, I was prepared to write it all down if I had to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I thank God for the tech I have and stuff we can buy. I mean, I use the stuff, but you learn that. See, foundations go deeper than just the stuff on top. The computers, the iPad, the iPhones, all that fancy, the cars. That's all just fancy stuff. What's the foundation? Foundation is hear from God, communicate the word of God. Foundation is love people. Reach out and serve people. Foundation is about knowing God. Coming, hearing, and doing what he said. Amen? Now, go back to Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Now, if the foundations are destroyed, what should the righteous do? Well, the righteous, if there's no foundation, even the righteous are going to have a problem. Even the righteous have a problem if foundations are destroyed. Now, there's two ways to look at that. We look at it from the standpoint of, again, society today. Society is doing away with what marriage has been defined as in the Bible and traditionally. We're doing away with lots of different issues regarding, even among same-sex opposite sex people, even they don't want to be married. I mean, all kinds of things happen, you know. All the sin ain't with the homosexuals. Come on. A bunch of us up in the church, and I mean, God's people. In fact, the divorce rate is the same. It's the same between Christians and folks in the world. That breaks my heart to hear that. But that's what happened when foundations are being destroyed. But also means that sometimes we allow foundation to become destroyed. We, through neglect, allow things to become disrupted or unuseful. I mean, listen, if I stop praying and God stops blessing my home and my wife and family, I can't blame God for that. I can't blame the world for that. If I begin to treat my wife poorly and not honor her and do what the Bible says where she is concerned and her towards me, again, I'm destroying my own foundation. Now, I can point this. I can say, well, the devil, he got in her. Or she can say, the devil got in him. You know, the devil always, you know, gets blamed for stuff. Come on. But the fact is, man, if we don't do the word, we ourselves are destroying the foundation. The devil ain't strong enough to keep you from doing what God told you to do. So if we don't do what God said, we can't blame the devil. We have to look at ourselves. Now watch this. In Genesis chapter 4, after we talked about what happened in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, and we know what happened there. And even worse, now they had two children. They had Cain and Abel. And notice this, that when Adam and Eve sinned and broke and, if you will, destroyed their foundation in the Garden of Eden and were put out of the garden, they began to have children. And the first two sons, one killed the other. Infratricide, we call it. Look at that. Now, the Bible tells us that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be alive. What it means is this. Theologically, it means original sin in Adam and Eve has been passed to all of us through birth. You understand that? That's why we have to have something called the new birth. All of us are born in sin. Sin nature is in us. And so, but the first two born of the first original sinners, the Bible says that Cain, well, the story is that God told them both to bring an offering. Now, God's instruction was a foundation, is that right? Bring me an offering. And of course, they knew that bring God the proper offering. The Bible says that Abel went out among his flocks and found the very best animal. Not the first one he saw. Not the straggler with the limp, with the messed up leg and the mangy coat. He found the best one. And he brought God that sacrifice. And God was pleased. Well, Cain heard the same instruction, but was kind of moving kind of slow. Deadline was approaching. And remember, oh, I got to bring an offering. I almost forgot. And he runs out there. He had some flocks too. He didn't get as far as the flocks. Went out the front door and grabbed a bunch of weeds out the ground. Grabbed some stuff up and brought that to God. Watch this. And God said, I don't want that. That's not the proper offering. And so it says that God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's offering. But Cain's response was not to say, Father, I'm sorry for not honoring the foundation. He just went and got mad. He got angry. He got envious. He got so mad at his brother Abel that the Bible says he's out there was out there speaking with him. I don't know what he said. But he hauled off and he hit him and he killed him. He killed his brother Abel. Because he was jealous that the man obeyed God, kept foundation with God, did what God said, and he did not. Now, that's a sad story. But see, it's what happens when people don't first they're sinners in their hearts, but they don't obey God. The Bible says that we can obey God to the purifying of our souls. You can obey your way to victory. Come on, somebody. You can obey your way to deliverance. I've done deliverance. I've cast out demons. I've seen them bark like dogs and wiggle like snakes. I've dealt with demonic situations you can't believe. I used to revel in that. What's your name?
My name is...
Come out of here. Lucia. I did all that stuff. I did things you would enjoy seeing. I did all that. Now I learned this. I read the Bible. Jesus said to people, shut up. Demons, shut up and come out. I don't want no show.
Okay.
Come out. I learned that. Oh, no show? No. Really? Really? Look at Jesus. They just came out. Christians want the show.
All right.
Charismatics want the show. Say amen, this church.
Amen.
The firm foundation is what Jesus did. Demonic stuff, shut up. Come out in the name of Jesus. Ain't having that foolishness up in here. That's authority. Other stuff is the show. Dr. Johnson, one of the men whom you know, blessed my life so much. He told a story one time. There were some people wrestling with a person who had a demonic spirit. Now hear me. These persons were not properly connected to foundation. And they're messing with demons. That's the first mistake. You ain't connected to the church. Nobody's over you. Nobody knows what you're doing. You want to go mess with demons? Watch this. So they're messing with this person who has demons. Went in there, I just say, for example, 8 o'clock in the evening. Come out, come out. Whoever you are, whatever, come out. They got oil. They got all this stuff going on. 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, midnight. They're going past midnight. Trying to get this person delivered. And then finally, God spoke to those folks and said, the devil can't cast out the devil. You ain't right with me. You don't have a... the devil, you've allowed him to disrupt your foundation. And you're trying to get somebody else delivered. And you yourself are not delivered. And so he told a story. And those people recognized that and repented and got right with God. See, listen, people, it's all about foundation. Say,
it's all about
foundation. Watch this. The Bible says that. So Cain became angry, killed his brother. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. The Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are. Say, I am. My brother's and my sister's keeper. Well, God asks you where somebody is who's related to you. You should know. If you don't know, why don't you know? Don't you care? Of course we care. He says, then he said this. God said, what have you done? Now, God knew what he did, but God's asking, what have you done? I hear the voice of your brother's blood crying out to me from the ground. You know, life is in the blood. I mean, listen, y'all, I can't tell you how sick I feel about hearing violence. You know those shows, people watch those shows where, people hit by cars and stuff. I don't watch none of that stuff. All right? I've seen death. I've seen mangled bodies. I've seen blood. All that. When you've been through that, you've seen it, you don't play with that. You don't trifle. Because when somebody's blood is shed, when somebody's life is lost, when somebody gets injured severely, man, their blood is crying out for mercy, help. I mean, their blood is crying out that somebody killed me. Depends on what the occasion was. You know why they're shedding blood. So God heard that. He heard Abel's blood crying out from the ground. And the God says, so now you are cursed from the earth. You did this to your brother, there's a curse on you for doing that. Now, let me tell you this. I'm teaching. Hope I'm helping you. Amen. Now, there's a teaching out there that says that the curse of Cain was that he lost his black skin. You know, Adam and Eve were black. Cain was black. When he sinned, he became white. That's out there. Just want you to know. It's out there. It's being taught. And that's a lie. That's terrible doctrine. White people ain't the devil. The devil's the devil. Light-skinned folk ain't halfway the devil. Come on. And black folk totally in God. black. You know, I heard that. That's sick. It's stupid. The Bible says, the scripture says, that when God cursed Cain, the curse was being sent away. Being sent away. Watch what God said. God said, verse 12, here's the curse. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. Now, why did God say that? When you till the ground, it won't yield its strength. Because listen, it was from the ground that Cain brought to God the wrong offering. In fact, I mean, don't bring God an offering from the thing he cursed. See, God, when God wants to redeem and cover the sins of people, he needs something alive. He needs something with blood in it. That's why I got a lot of animals to be sacrificed, because it takes blood to cover the sins. But it took the Lamb of God, Jesus, to remove our sins. Listen, y'all, animal sacrifices could never take our sins away. Just covered it. But Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin. So then Cain's curse was, you know, this ground, you know, you're going to go out here and work and have difficulty. You've offended me. You've broken with my foundation. You've disconnected from the foundation. You're going to have trouble in your life. He said this, and a fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. My God. He said, you're going to also be a fugitive and a vagabond. Now, a fugitive, we know, in legal sense, is somebody running from the law, who committed a crime, who's got a warrant out for him. He's out on the lam. He's running. But the Hebrew term for fugitive means to quiver, to shake, to reel, to stagger, to wander, to move, to shift, to waver. Now, we told you, Jesus told you, not me. Jesus said, if you build the house on the foundation, you dig deep, when the storm comes, it won't shake the house. Come on, somebody. Listen, y'all, if we don't build the way Jesus said build, we're going to be in that vagabond mode. Everything come up, man, we reeling, we stagger, we wandering. Every little thing upset us.
All right.
Come on, you can't live like that, church. There's too much stuff in the world that's going to be upsetting. It's a very upsetting place called this world.
Yes, yes.
I always tell you, don't let the devil see that little stuff get to you.
Amen.
He'll tell them demons, hey, oh, we got one over here.
Yes.
Hit him. Don't speak to him today, you know.
Yes, yes.
Whatever. They're going to go crazy. Well, thank God. See, with a foundation, we won't have to shake and quiver like that. Amen.
Yes,
but see, Cain became a vagabond because of what he did, because of breaking with the foundation. There's nothing else left. There's no foundation. Then you're out there. He says you're going to be a vagabond and a fugitive. Now, I defined for you earlier, a fugitive was that person running from the law. So I got the words confused briefly, but the vagabond, pardon me, first, the fugitive is the one that quakes, the one that quivers, the one that staggers. Okay, now the vagabond is a similar. But the vagabond, Hebrew definition means to move to and fro, to wander aimlessly, to take flight, to run away. That's a vagabond. A lot of folk in church hop, they vagabonds. They go to the place, you know, they just like best. I like it here. Do they know you? No, nobody know me, but I like it. You know the pastor? No. You know you? No. Anybody know you? Well, a couple people. But listen. When the foundations are destroyed, that's what happens. We lose that sense of covenant and connectedness to foundation. We just love to come to Jesus, hear what he says, say amen, say amen, say amen. But we don't do diddly. But one thing you must realize is without a foundation, the Bible says God told Cain, you shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. And Cain said to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Oh, you're going to bear it. You made that bed. You're going to sleep in that for a little while. The thing is, though, now Cain said also, he said, I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond. And it will happen that whoever finds me will kill me. They're going to kill me. Again, being selfish. But God said, I'll just protect you. Don't worry, they won't kill you. God had mercy on Cain. Amen. God's merciful, isn't he?
Yes, amen.
So I'll put a mark on you. They won't, you know. They ain't gonna kill you. Thank God. Just settle down, man. Focus on me, on God. God's saying, you're always thinking about yourself. I'm gonna be a fugitive. I'm gonna be a vagabond. What about me? Like Joyce Meyer says, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? That's an awesome teaching. And she brings it up all the time. Because that's how, when we don't have the foundation, it's all about us now. When you have foundation and you're connected, it's all about him. All about him, his church, his kingdom. Not, it ain't about me. But without that foundation, it's all about me. I feel, I think, I heard God say it, yada, yada, yada. Vagabonds and fugitives can talk that talk too. And I've got stuck myself disobeying God. And I've had little, thank God, brief seasons. I mean, I can tell you from experience. 30 years, a lot's happened. Come on. I've had my trouble too. I'm telling you from experience, man. You got in that vagabond and fugitive mode, it's not a good deal at all. Matter of fact, after about maybe, I don't know, a day or a few hours, maybe a few minutes, I ran back. Lord, God, have mercy on me. So thank God for the Holy Spirit, who in this dispensation, unlike when they lived, today we have the Holy Spirit, who always is bringing us understanding knowledge, drawing our hearts back to God. You believe this?
Amen.
So then, thank God, we are not fugitives and vagabonds. Say, I am not. No way.
No way.
No how.
No
nobody's
nobody.
Fugitive
or
vagabond.
Amen.
Amen. Say, by the grace of God. And by his grace alone. I don't quiver. Shake. Reel. Wonder. Move. Waver. Or take flight,
or
run away.
I'm on a firm foundation.
Amen. By the grace of God, you're saying. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. You can talk like that if you keep it in the proper perspective. Amen. Go to Proverbs chapter 9. We finish up here. Almost done. Proverbs chapter 9. Maybe pick it up next time. So then, let's see what wisdom has to say. Wisdom wants to talk to us here about foundations, about benefits of a firm foundation, about moving forward on the firm foundation of faith. Proverbs 9, verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places in the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. For as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of my wine, which I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Wisdom here is speaking to us. And it's a woman's voice. Because a woman's voice is an attractive voice. It's an attractive voice. You know, I read that in some of these fighter jets. I guess they'll always confirm this. Is the warning voice in a fighter jet a female voice? The warning voice in jets, a female voice? Pull up.
Some of them
are. Okay. All right then. Okay. A lot of times you have female voices in devices and, you know, systems. Pre-recorded voice, because it's an attractive voice. The pitch is just right, okay? Plus, women kind of look good, you know, smell good and stuff, too. You know, it's better coming from a woman. Amen. But she says, wisdom says, she has hewn out her seven pillars. What does that mean? Don't go deep on that. Don't get super spiritual on that. I just say this. It just means it speaks to a full commitment and foundation. See, pillars have to be brought hewn out of solid rock. You can't get pillars from dirt. You know, they got to come out of solid ground. So pillars are hewn out. They're set up. But pillars set on a foundation. We read earlier, the Bible says, Paul said that to Timothy, that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Seven is a number that means completion, all right, perfection. So it speaks of a complete or full commitment and foundation. So wisdom, wisdom in your life it is firm, it is complete, it is full, nothing missing in the wisdom of God for your life. She said this, wisdom has slaughtered her meat, mixed her wine, also furnished the table. That speaks of provision, all right? Now I got a message entitled The House of Wisdom, preached a couple years ago, The House of Wisdom. So in the House of Wisdom, there's this firm foundation, there's provision in the House of Wisdom. And then verse 3 says, she sent her maidens out and cried out to the highest places of the city and said, whoever is simple, turn in here. Now simple, in this term, means simple as naive. All right, as not knowing, as not understanding, as lacking in wisdom. Hey, if you're simple, here, turn in here. Come into the house of wisdom. Come into the house of wisdom. Then it goes on to say, when you get here, you're going to find food. You're going to find provision. You're going to be able to forsake foolishness. You're going to be able to live and listen and go in the way of understanding. Church, there is so much today in the realm of misunderstanding, but in the house of wisdom, there's what? Come on, say it.
Understanding.
Amen. So let me close with encouraging you that these are the benefits, some of the benefits of a firm foundation. And I exhort us today, you know, in this momentous year of our ministry and wanting to see a lot more, we'll see more. But let's be thankful and faithful to God. We have a firm foundation. Amen. Amen. Every need is met. I mean, God is taking care of us. I mean, he's helping us, but there's so much more. I mean, we got to win souls. The main thing is about winning souls.
That's right.
I mean, prayer and the ministry of the word have to be a focus for all of us. Amen. That we have to continue to allow the Lord to strengthen us, to help us, and to make us, as Paul told Timothy, that we are the church of the living God. We are the pillar with Christ. We are the pillar and the foundation of truth. Now, stand up and be heard. Say, I will stand up, and be heard. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you for reminding us, for revealing to us, maybe, in some new ways, that Lord God, what you're doing in us and through us is a monumental work. Matters not that we may be small in number right now. Doesn't change your love of us and perfection you want to bring to us. Doesn't change the purpose for which you've established us as a church, but more importantly, as individuals in Christ. We thank you, Lord God, for the kingdom of God, which we're a part, for the whole house of God with whom we celebrate you. We thank you, Father God, for empowering us to serve you, Lord God, to follow the example we've heard even this morning from the testimony that came forth, a very timely testimony that speaks to how we all feel sometimes. In our bodies, in this earthen vessel, we feel weak. But Lord, you've put treasure in this vessel. But Father, it's a treasure we don't realize until we put a demand on our obedience. And Father God, when we purpose to serve you and serve others, love you, love others, and serve the world, Lord, there's something activated on the inside of us. Your spirit will come to empower us to do the works you've called us to do. Lord, let us not be distracted by all the noise we hear and are going to hear. Let us not be distracted, Lord, from our central purpose and central task that you've called us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Let us, Father God, hold fast to the promise that, Lord, you are faithful and you will strengthen us and set us on a firm foundation. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.